October 26, 2023, JEDCO Executive Committee meeting.
Signed these documents on the 10th day of the 26th month.
You might want to reprint the just my page, not the, not the everybody else's page.
The recorder's on.
Valerie's not.
Yeah, actually.
Can we take that out of the order? Can we?
Promotion too. Can I just skip it and then go back and take a motion?
Just take it out of the order. Yeah, just ask for a motion.
Okay. All right.
Jerry? I'm sorry.
Hey, Michael.
We can move forward.
Okay.
I can handle it.
Okay, Natalie, good. Thanks. All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome to the October 26, 23 JEDCO Executive Committee hearing, and glad to be here because I understand Jim enjoyed being chairman.
The benevolent dictator.
Yeah, last month. So, anyways, I'd like to do the pledge, and I always like to start with a little prayer. And normally I ask Lloyd or Myra or someone who I think is a little more, I'm not worthy of leading. I've always felt just being led, but there's so much going on in the world that I wrote a few things. And I'd like to ask y'all to stand. And Jim, when we're done, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, sir. Right?
So I'd like to pray for a few things this morning, and if I'm over 2 minutes, Jason, you get the hook, all right? All right. We can pray for Silly. We can pray for Pete Carmichael's play calling, or Zion Williams playing 82 games, or LSU beating Alabama. No, Jim, that's not silly. We're gonna move that to the important part of the prayers this morning. We can pray for the sad, the 22 lives lost in Maine last night, who were shopping, eating, drinking, living their lives. Closer to home, on I-55, those that were husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, just going about their day, killed, a fire chief, a chef, and to the many that were injured. The horrific, we can pray to the 1,400 Israelis who were killed, including a couple hundred who were attending a peace rally, a peace concert, hoping for peace in the area, to the Gazans being held hostage by the terrorists who subvert pipes instead of delivering water, they deliver bombs and concrete. Instead of building roads and bridges for their country and the world, they built terrorist tunnels. They use their people as human shields. We pray for them too. We can pray for hope to Governor-elect Jeff Landry. Governor-elect had 52%, I believe, which meant nearly 50% of the people in the state didn't vote for him. But I do know that 100% of people in the state are rooting for him. We can pray to puff our chest out today. We can be grateful for Mike Johnson from Benton, Louisiana, being elected Speaker of the House, and Steve Scalise standing right next to him as House Majority Leader. And I was lucky enough to be in front of a television yesterday watching the vote and the first resolutions. Resolution number one by Congressman Leader Scalise informing the President of the Senate, Schumer, the election of Mike Johnson, and resolution number two, the same, to inform President Biden of Mike Johnson, announcing that Mike Johnson, from the great state of Louisiana, had been elected Speaker of the House. And if you get a minute or 20 minutes, go to YouTube and watch Mike Johnson's speech. It was, you may not agree with him on everything, you may not agree with him on whether it's social or how conservative he is, but you will be very proud to have him as your speaker. He's a very impressive individual. They made a great choice. And I do know that in Washington, the parties are going to be a little louder, the music a little better, and the food a lot better with those two in charge. And lastly, my last prayer is grateful to be a part of JEDCO and where we and this wonderful staff work every day. Sorry, I take medicine, which makes me very emotional. We work every day to make our area a better place. So those are my prayers, but you all take a few seconds and we'll follow up in a second with a pledge. Thank you.
I'd like to add to pray for Mexico with that horrific hurricane that hit them Category 5 very unexpectedly yesterday.
Thank you, Mara.
Otis.
Thank you. Jim.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you. I'd like to welcome our guests today. We have a full, from the city of Kenner, we have Natalie Newton. Hi, Natalie. Amy Vallow.
Over there.
Hi, Amy. Jason Dyer. Hi, Jason. And Valerie. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
Valerie Brolin from the City of Kenner. And from the Parish Attorney's Office, we have Reed Smith. I always like to ask Reed, how am I doing?
Great.
All right, good. All right, I'll continue then. Thank you all. Thank you for coming today. First, let's have we had one member of our board, Terry Tucker, asked for an approved absence and excusal today. Can I get a motion to accept that?
I'll motion.
Gene, second. Tom, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. All right. The motion passes. Then the minutes, they were circulated. Did anyone have any comments or changes? All right. Hearing none, can I get a motion to accept the minutes for August 31st?
Double.
Myra, second. Okay, Tom. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And Valerie, you're going to be doing the presentation or
yes,
Natalie?
Sir.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Sir.
Okay, again, Valerie Brolin from the City of Kenner is going to be doing a proposed fire department millage presentation.
Let me, right before Val starts, just.
Saturday, November 8th.
Oh. occasionally when there is a millage on the ballot, we ask folks to come here and present to this board. We cannot take a position as our body, but so many of you represent organizations and are nominated by entities who can or who it's important to bring this information back to. So that's what we're asking today to inform you of this millage renewal.
So I know a lot of faces in this room in just different capacities that I've held over the past 15 years. I am the mayor of Kenner, Mayor Glazer. I am his executive coordinator of intergovernmental affairs and development. And I'm fairly new to the position, just a few months in, and prior to that, I spent about 7.5 years in Jefferson Parish. I left there. My last position held there was the deputy chief operating officer with President Lee Chang. And then prior to spending 7 years in Parish, I spent 8 years in Kenner before that. I have been a part of and overseeing several millage elections in throughout my career. So when I came and took this role with the City of Kenner, the mayor told me that the council was going to be voting to put this on the ballot for the November 18th election. In looking at this millage and in looking at this research, you'll find from this video that this is a 40-year-old millage. And as you know, the way that millages work and reassessments of properties work, costs have continued to climb in terms of operation, equipment, and training and education for everyone. But for the fire department, it's crucial to the City of Kenner that we have the funds to maintain our fire department, and most importantly, for the public safety of our community. most importantly, so we can keep that class one rating that these fine men and women have been able to maintain and that our community is accustomed to having. So what we're doing is, like Jerry said, is we're basically going on our roadshow and we're coming to esteemed groups like yourselves. And again, while you cannot take a position, we ask that you help us to spread the information so that those who are impacted by whether or not this millage passes can make an informed decision when they vote on November 18th. And whether they're residents of Kenner who will be impacted from a residential standpoint, or they are business owners in Kenner who will be impacted from their business standpoint, spreading the information and making sure that people are aware of the impact of whether or not this millage passes or not, it's just, it's key. So with that, Kelsey, if you can pull that beautiful footage.
On Saturday, November 18th, City of Kenner voters will be asked to decide whether or not to approve a millage to provide necessary additional funding to the Kenner Fire Department, a vital component to the safety and quality of life for the residents and business owners of Kenner. Currently, the dedicated millage for the Kenner Fire Department is 7.4 mils and the primary dedicated source of funding. This millage was first established in 1983, and over the past 40 years, the cost of the department's needs has increased, and the millage rate has never generated the necessary funds to accommodate rising costs. 7.4 mils generate approximately $4.1 million annually. However, the KFD annual budget is currently $12.9 million, and that is with firefighters being paid wages far below industry standards. For reference, the current starting pay for a new Kenner firefighter is $8.92 per hour. Our firefighters and their effectiveness are vital to our community. As a Class 1 rated department by the Property Insurance Association of Louisiana, KFD properly staffs its suppression division, has a dedicated aerial truck, and initiates thousands of hours of dedicated training. Without passage of a millage to properly fund KFD, it would become increasingly difficult to maintain the Class 1 rating, which in turn could impact insurance rates for Kenner residents and businesses. Our KFD firefighters responded to 2,894 calls for service in 2022 that included resident...
Kelsey.
Let's take a moment to review the functionality of millages. A mill in the city of Kenner generates approximately $605,000. There are a total of 26,729 taxable parcels within the city of Kenner, with 1,121 of those parcels being 100% homestead exempt. A parcel with a homestead exemption decreases the taxable value of the property. Currently, 73% of Kenner residential properties are valued under $200,000. Therefore, the ability to generate a large volume of tax revenue is limited. If approved, the 18.2 millage rate will replace the current 7.4 millage rate with a net increase of 10.8 mils. If approved, this replacement millage is expected to generate approximately $10.9 million per year, significantly decreasing the detrimental annual budget shortfall, a shortfall that the city's general fund must be used to subsidize. Currently, the general fund subsidizes the Kenner Fire Department by approximately $6 million. If approved, the fire millage will fall more in line with fire millages assessed to residents and business owners in nearby jurisdictions and districts. For example, the East Bank Consolidated Fire Department has a dedicated 25 mils. The independent fire districts across the West Bank of unincorporated Jefferson Parish have dedicated millages ranging from 20 to 24.45 mils. Replacing the 7.4 mils for KFD with 18.2 mils is still going to cost a Kenner resident or business owner less than one in unincorporated Jefferson Parish. Moving on to the topic of what it will cost you, an 18.2 millage will cost the owner of a property assessed at $100,000, $3.83 per month, or 12 cents per day, or 1 cent per incident. The owner of a property assessed at $300,000 will pay $34.16 per month, or $1.12 per day, or 14 cents per incident. If approved, this replacement millage will generate additional funds to pay fire personnel adequate wages so that the Kenner Fire Department is able to increase the retention of these vital first responders. It will fund construction and renovation of fire stations, the purchase of personal protective equipment, firefighting equipment, and training opportunities. So on November 18th, we are asking Kenner voters to make a choice. A choice that will impact the quality of life for Kenner residents and businesses, the effectiveness of our first responders at the Kenner Fire Department, and the overall safety of our community.
Oh, that sounds interesting. So, in conclusion, we have a web page available on the City of Kenner government website about the 2024 millage. Basically includes a lot of the information that you've just seen in this video, and we are also available for questions. So as Mr. Pat stated, we have Deputy CAOs, Ms. Amy Vallow, Ms. Natalie Newton, and then we have Jason Dyer here, who is the Assistant Fire Chief. He's here if there are any technical questions. But again, while we all cannot say, you know, vote yes to this village, vote yes to this village, the important component here is that we get the information out to the community as best we can. So I sent an email to, I think, Jerry and Todd and Elisa yesterday with the links to this video and the links to the website. So if you guys can just kind of pass that out, distribute it. Cross promotion on social media is important. Word of mouth, spreading the word to friends, family, business owners who may know people who vote in Kenner, and just making sure that they're informed about the proposition that will be available for them to vote on November 18th. So with that, we will take any questions, or Jason will take any questions.
I know there weren't a lot of runoff. So what else is on the ballot?
Not very much. I believe there's a Secretary of State runoff.
Attorney General
runoff.
Yeah.
And so, then this.
So we're thinking a turnout's not going to be low.
It will be low.
It will be low, but I mean, as you know, that could be beneficial.
Just
beneficial if you get your vote out. And the Kenner Firefighters Association is an entity that's separate from, you know, the city, and they're out working very hard to push and promote their message in terms of the needs of the fire department.
Hi, Val. I received your email yesterday and responded to it. I don't know if you saw it. So if the question is this material in Spanish already?
It will be. It's just not done yet. And as soon as we have the resources back in the office to get all of this translated, we'll get it.
So that I can share it with...
A.K.A. Valeria's on vacation.
I really want to
say Myra, you can't go help him out with a...
I already know that
she's out. I'll just be honest. Valeria's on vacation. As soon as she gets back, everything is going to be in Spanish. It'll be really quick, I promise. But Reed, how am I doing, Reed?
Very well.
Myra, I just want to add, the City of Kenner recently updated their website, and you see that little select language at the bottom of the screen?
Yes.
40 different languages people can go to. All the information on our website. But certainly, we'll return on the promotion.
I just don't, the Hispanic media, anything I send to them, I make sure that it's already translated. Otherwise, it'll get.
So, and with that being said, I don't know, I can send you the list of groups that I sent, the same email that you received yesterday. I sent that to some other Hispanic groups, and so they got it in English. And
okay.
So,
yeah, and in the meantime, I was going to say, because like my chamber platform is in English, but I do
but
have
I can
other
let you know who I sent it out
please.
To yesterday.
Yes.
So if you want to reach
yes.
out beforehand.
Yes.
That would be very helpful.
Of course.
Thank you.
Val, for clarification, the existing 7.4 mils is expiring?
No. So that's one of the most important key vocabulary words that I am pushing as we go through this millage campaign, is that this is a replacement millage. So basically, 7.4 mils is not...
It's insufficient.
It's insufficient.
Right.
So this is us putting a proposition on to replace the 7.4 that is there with a millage that is a bit more sufficient.
So the 7.4 is going to go away, though?
Right. We're not asking you to...
So you can't sell it as a renewal, but it's replacement.
So I call it a replacement because it's not... I don't want to call it new... Because it's not new.
Correct.
What it is it's replacing right. 7.4 mils with 18.2 mils. Because that is going to be more in line with...
Will that totally alleviate the general fund requirement, or there's still going to be some?
No.
I
just wanted to clarify that.
No, I mean, quite frankly, this is the ask that, the executive level... team at the city of Kenner. This is the ask that we feel like we can go out with. That is, while it is aggressive, it's not aggressive to the point where we know it will just absolutely fail, and we cannot have something absolutely fail. Hopefully, that's the position that we're in. So this is just a step forward in the right direction, but it will not completely alleviate the dependency on the general fund for the subsidy at the end of the fiscal year with
that.
A shortfall.
Any other questions?
Well, we will we'll distribute the link to the entire board, not just the executive committee, but again, I just encourage all of you to vote and get the word out and make sure everyone you know votes. We see what low turnout does. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Jerry
knows where to find me. Everybody else
knows. Thank you, Valerie.
All right.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you. Penn, do we need a... I know we need a motion to accept the amendment, but do we need a motion to accept once we amend it? Is the schedule...
We already voted on that last
week. So we're just amending.
So now you're just amending what
right.
they had previously approved.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nat.
I know.
Did you want to give Myra and Jocelyn the sheets to sign? Cam? Okay. You look for your name. Okay. I have a quick comment, but before we do that, do we have any public comments on anything on the agenda items today? Okay, hearing none. There are 9 commissioners, a few of which are in this room, who have not completed their ethics and sexual harassment training, which is an annual requirement. And you need to do it by 12/31. Congratulations to Tom and Steven.
Yes,
and, all right. The bag of donuts is not just a group. It's a prize. It's a prize for finishing before 12/31. So expect to hear from Penny, but that's something that you'll need to do to ensure that you don't get fined. The organization doesn't get fined, you get fined. So it needs to be done. All right, we're gonna move into unfinished and new business. At the prior meeting, we approved the 2024 schedule of meetings, but there's one change that had to do with Thanksgiving. We had approved the November JEDCO Board of Commissioner quarterly meeting for November 28th, but because it conflicts with Thanksgiving, we'd like to move it to November 21st, the Thursday week before Thanksgiving. So did anyone have an issue with that?
I'll move. Do we need to have a motion?
Yeah, we need a motion. Jim, can I get a second?
Second.
Second by Myra. Any comment? Hearing none, can I get all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. We have approval of the nominating organization to continuing serving as a nominating entity for appointments to our Board of Commissioners. And the one Jerry will be discussing is the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans.
So several years back, we adopted some bylaws changes that would ensure that our nominating entities remain healthy and strong and are able to provide us with strong nominees. So we had put some requirements in place that each time a commissioner who is appointed by one of the nominating entities, when their term comes to an end, we ask that nominating entity to submit to us various data that helps us make sure that the organization is still holding regular meetings, that they're keeping their membership growing and things like that. The only entity that we have, or the only term that's expiring this year, is Floyd Simeons from the Home Builders Association. So we did request that they submit all of the documentation. They have done so, and in our opinion, everything is perfectly in line. So with that, we would seek approval to continue allowing the Home Builders Association of Greater New Orleans to be to continue as a nominating entity. And if you approve this motion, the next step would be for us to then seek the three nominees for replacement of Floyd's term.
Okay. I'll move.
Second. Got a second. Any, Michael? Second by Michael. Any discussion? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Right. Hearing none, the motion passes. Next, the resolution accepting the proposal of the Duplantis Design Group, contingent upon LED's acceptance of said proposal, and approving the MOA with Louisiana Economic Development, Greater New Orleans, Inc., Entergy Louisiana, related to JEDCO's application for LED business site certification for Churchill Park, and authorizing JEDCO's president and CEO to execute the DDG, or Duplantis Design Group, proposal and the MOA. This was deferred from August 31st, and Lacey, you're up.
So this particular agenda item, I actually have, I'm replacing it with the agenda item right below it, but in a nutshell, when we placed this language on the agenda back for the August meeting, we were hoping we'd be much farther along in the process of getting the documents we need to bring to you guys, but we weren't. And so we asked the board to defer, which you guys did. But we learned, when I say we, I mean, JEDCO has, and including GNO League, including DDG, we learned more about how this contract and this certification process will work. And I felt that the language in this agenda item was no longer accurate. So I replaced it with the bullet below, which is a resolution approving a memorandum of agreement with Greater New Orleans, Inc., Entergy Louisiana, related to JEDCO's application for certified sites, and authorizing Jerry to execute the MOA. So the differences are, DDG's proposal is not necessarily for JEDCO to accept, it's for GNO Inc. to accept. And then LED is actually not a party to the MOA, so I just reworded this more accurately below it. So I'm asking if you would cancel, is that the correct term? Cancel this particular agenda item, and then we can move on to the one that's more accurate.
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. It's approved. All right, Lacey. I'll read very quickly the next item. Resolution approving an MOA with Greater New Orleans Inc. and Entergy Louisiana related to JETCO's application for LED business site certification for Churchill Park, and authorizing JETCO's president and CEO to execute the memorandum of understanding.
So we have brought several items, you know, related to advancing Churchill Park to our board over the past few years, starting with the master plan for the park, of course, and then we've had those phased implementation of the master plan with the consultant groups, and then most recently the strategic business plan for the park. And it's because obviously with the Churchill Park, this has been such a great initiative of the Edge, one of the largest initiatives, or the largest of the Jefferson Edge since the Edge's creation back in 2020. And what we're doing is trying to continue steadily taking steps to advance the park and to prepare for development. And this particular item will help us as well. This is getting the site certified is a recommendation of the master plan. It's a priority of the strategic business plan. It's an action within the Jefferson Edge, and it's actually this year's JETCO's strategic operating plan, our internal documents. So one of the main, I guess, a prerequisite for this program to be considered as a certified site with OED, the property cannot be, cannot contain a special flood hazard this zone, basically. Our property was AD zoned, but we were able, through DDG's help, to submit a letter of map amendment to FEMA, and FEMA approved our change from AD to an X zone with minimal flood risk. That was a bare minimum requirement. Once we solidified that and obtained that change on the flood insurance rate maps, we knew we were able to move forward with this. So, just give me 1 second. I'll be off and on with glasses. So yeah, the certified sites program, this is the business sites program. So there are two certified sites programs with LED. One, and it was the original program, was focused solely on industrial properties that were over 25 acres, very large industrial sized properties. But LED over time saw the need to develop an additional certified sites program, and this is called business certified sites. So this is for sites between 10 and 25 acres that are intended to be used for a mix of uses, so like a business park with not you know, heavy industrial uses. You know, something like Churchill, where we can have research and office uses and retail, restaurants, even some residential. We couldn't get this if we were solely seeking residential uses. So anyway, this is a great fit for us and for our, you know, the at least 25 acres at the maximum we could submit at this time, even though we actually have 57 acres that we've obtained the letter of map amendment on. But anyway, we thought this was a great opportunity. Let's push this forward for Churchill Park. So, there are many advantages. By the way, this is a map I have Kelsey for. It's in the packet, but I wasn't sure how legible it was. Anyway, this is our map. So this is the outline of the 25 acres that we're seeking certification for. You'll see that the bulk of it has been cleared and filled. So it's just, it's the prime land. It's the land that's almost basically ready to be developed. Some of it is actually development ready, that fronts on Churchill Parkway. So yeah, there are many advantages to this program. LED markets these sites, certified sites, with a special, with priority in Louisiana site selection, which is their database, and it's basically a joint venture with LED and Entergy to create this site. And that site is accessed by site selectors and, you know, large companies throughout the world that are, you know, seeking to make an investment somewhere in Louisiana or the southern part of our country or Gulf South region. Actually, the program manager for the certified sites program said that approximately 46% of the hits on that website are from international sources. LED also contracts with CoStar. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's an online platform for commercial real estate information. It showcases properties for sale, lease, and you can pull up all sorts of information on those sites. So as the certified site selection center is being populated with the certified site, it automatically gets populated in CoStar as well. And CoStar also has an international audience. And then certified sites receive priority over non-certified sites by LED's business development team. So when they're contacted directly by, you know, site selection consultants and companies, their main aim is just go first to the certified sites. What do we have that meets their criteria before they would actually send out an RFP to the local and regional EDOs. So the scope of work that's required for site certification is on page 9. I've listed it out in several bullets. It's very comprehensive. Some of the work has actually been done for us through the implementation of the master plan by DDG. So they've done the wetlands delineation. We have our JD from the Corps of Engineers. They've done topographic surveys. They have a ton of data too, just from the LIDAR survey and all the work that they've done here over the past few years. So they were well equipped to handle this contract and this process for the park. Under the Certified Sites Program, you know, LED is attempting to try to get as many sites certified as possible that can qualify for certification, so that, you know, we're Louisiana stands up front, and you know, we can actually pair sites with these leads that we're getting. So what they've done is created a grant that covers 75% of the cost of certification. It's EDRED is the acronym. It's Economic Development Site Readiness Program grant. And that grant is facilitated through the Regional Economic Development Organizations, or the REDOs, and our REDO is GNO Inc. So GNO Inc. is helping us to receive this grant, and that's why the MOA is just with GNO Inc. LED is not a part of it, with GNO Inc. and MVP and JETCO. And then additional funding support will be provided by Entergy Louisiana, which is something I believe they've done before, but they're definitely doing it for us, which is awesome. They're going to cover 1/3 of our costs. So 75% is EDRED, the remaining 25% would normally be for the property owner to put up. And we're the property owner, so Entergy is coming in and putting up 1/3 of that. So we have a memorandum of agreement, and it's again between JETCO, GNO Inc., Entergy Louisiana. All entities have reviewed and have, we're satisfied with the language in the agreement. The MOA does several things. It sets the minimum site requirements in order to be considered for certification. It expresses JETCO's interest in marketing the site for lease to a developer or business. It obligates JETCO to enter into good faith negotiations with prospective lessees. Through the MOA, JETCO agrees to allow LED and GNO Inc. entry onto the site for due diligence activities to conduct or oversee due diligence activities. It stipulates that the contractor's proposal for due diligence, including cost estimates, must be approved by LED prior to any work being undertaken. And then LED will issue its notice to proceed through GNO Inc. The MOA also breaks down the cost of certification and the payment obligations of each entity. So again, we chose Duplantis, and GNO Inc. accepted Duplantis' proposal for this project. Their proposal, each element of each due diligence component of it had to fall within, the cost had to fall within a range that was that LED has set. So DDG was successful in getting those quotes from other firms that will work under them to do some of this work, like the title abstract and the environmental assessment, which wouldn't be a civil engineering firm. So the costs were spot on, LED approved, GNO Inc. approved, so we're just about ready to go. So the full cost of the certification will be $23,150. LED's EDRED program will pay $17,362.50. That's 75% of the cost. Then the remaining 25% would typically be on JETCO as property owner. However, Entergy will contribute 1/3 of the cost at a total of $1,909.88. So the remaining $3,877.62 is JETCO's responsibility. And we knew this was coming, that this would be a priority for 2023. So the money is, you know, we have this. This is a budgeted expense, in other words, in the edge fund. excuse me.
Seems for $3,800. This is a
pretty good deal. It gives our park such a wide, you know, international audience, yeah. And something we don't have.
It's a good investment.
Now. It will take some time. Typically, if we had not done the wetlands delineation or the topographic survey work, it would take about 12 months for this whole process. But having that done already, it shortens the time just a bit till LED's estimating about 8 months. So it's quite lengthy, lots, very comprehensive, but yeah, I do think it's certainly worth a while, and I hope you do too. So what we have before you is a resolution that approves the MOA between JETCO, Geno Inc. and Engineering Louisiana.
I'm sure we're comfortable with that. Did anyone have any questions for Lacey? It's always very complete. Thank you for your presentation. All right, hearing no questions, can I get a motion to approve the memorandum of
motion?
Second.
Okay, Stephen, second by Jocelyn. Last chance for comments. Not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Lacey.
Thank you.
Thank you all. That's you very all. Exciting. Next, we have, this is actually one of our last things. Of business today. A resolution in support of JETCO's grant application to the Economic Development Agency, EDA, 2023 Disaster Supplemental Funding Opportunity for the construction of a food and beverage business incubator at Churchill Park, and I will not be lobbying for food manufacturing during this presentation, so it will probably be a shorter one. Okay, who's going to be doing that, Annalisa?
Even shorter than you think, actually, because we're not quite ready to present this to you guys.
Okay,
so you expect to bring it at the November full board meeting.
All right, to the
motion to defer.
Yes.
Okay, to the what date, Penny?
November
30th meeting. We have motion to defer to November 30th. So moved by Myra, second by Tom. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. Next, we have the monthly financial report, August 2023 and September 2023. Okay,
Jim. Everyone, I'll combine sort of August and September, so nothing really to report out of the ordinary course of business. You will see in September two larger amounts, with a $487,000 revenue amount with a corresponding $413,000 expense, and that relates to the Avondale Gate Complex. And I met with Scott, and the project is currently in budget. We are receiving timely payments from Avondale and the state, so JETCO is not too much out of pocket from a cash flow standpoint. It is scheduled to be completed December 15th, but Scott will come for a budget amendment because the closeout probably, the contract will not take place until January 2024. Other than that, nothing, like I said, out of the ordinary. The LAMP JETCO account balance is about $4 million. Edge is about $544,000. The biggest task we've been working on lately, we started in August to do the RFP for the fiscal agent for JETCO, and we did receive 8 proposals from 8 banks. The fiscal agent evaluation committee met on October 24th, and we narrowed it down to 4 banks. One being our current First Horizon, and we asked the other 3 banks to come in for, not to say an interview, but to demonstrate their online platform, and we did propose some questions in advance to them that they could answer just to clarify some of the things in each of their proposals. So we are set to do that, I believe, November 1st and November 2nd. Quick turnaround, probably get it approved at the November board meeting, hoping to be able to have this in place for January 1st. Which is when the current First Horizon contract expires. Other than that, Scott wanted me to mention that he's working hard to get, we've moved the financial system QuickBooks to online so that we're able to move to more Microsoft platform of SharePoint, get off of Azure, remote desktop, and Scott is pulling together because there was quite a savings in cost to do that not only just easier for us to use, but there's some savings. So you're still pulling that together, so we should be able to give you that number maybe at the next meeting. But we're very excited about that. I think everyone was kind of tired of the remote desktop, so this will be more user-friendly and more cost-efficient. That's all I have.
Anyone have any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion to accept the financial report?
Move.
Second.
Okay, Lloyd, second by Michael. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. At the conclusion of our meeting today, and everyone is here, the members of the 2023 nominating committee, Tom, Teresa, Lloyd, and Jimmy, we're going to wait here for a moment at the end of the meeting and see if the room clears out quickly. If it doesn't, we'll move to another room. But if y'all can stay here. And then, Jerry, it's time for the president and CEO report.
I have a number of updates. I was going to hold one till the end, but Lauren just walked in, so the timing was perfect. At the last full board meeting, we had introduced you all to Jennifer and Lauren, who were placed here through our contract with Prime, and we've been so excited to work with both of them. They have brought some proficiency to the organization that has allowed us to realize a lot of efficiencies, and as a result, I'm happy to inform all of you that we now have both of them as JETCO employees. Jennifer is our new CFO for JETCO. And Lauren is our senior accountant. And not only have they brought the proficiency to our accounting functions and the efficiencies, but I think even better than that, they've relieved a number of our staff members of duties that we've all kind of assumed through the transition period. So we're very excited. And while Lauren was in the room, I just wanted to have the executive committee reckon. I know how much you love the public notification, so.
No.
That's it? I like it.
So,
She was getting paid by the hour. That would have been good. She's an employee now.
So just to run through a few items, as you know, both at the state and the parish level, we're going to be going through some transition here. I've been telling people, for the last 3 months, I thought just get me to Election Day, we'll be okay. Well, the 2 weeks since Election Day have been far worse than the run up to elections. But we're going to go through a transition here. And the good news is JETCO is in a very strong position, both locally and at the state level. I will be meeting with the new council members, the new faces on the council with Hans and Arita. We maintain very strong and very favorable relations with the members who were reelected or elected, who were previously on the council. At the state level, I'm working with Michael at GNO Inc. As we move forward with a litany of recommendations for the State Department of Economic Development, which in our estimation has not been able to provide us with much value in the last couple of years. So there are a number of recommendations being made to strengthen that department. Whether or not the new administration takes that, we'll see. But I just wanted to let you know that that's one of the things we're aiming to strengthen that Department of Economic Development. An update on Avondale. As you all know, and what was covered in the press, they presented at bond commission. They did not ask for a vote at that bond commission, but it was very clear that it was not going to receive a favorable vote if they did seek the vote. For many people, that signaled the end of the deal. However, we have met with Host, and they have informed us that they are planning to go back to Bond Commission in March, April, timeframe. I don't know if they are planning to renegotiate the terms prior to then, but that's what they're planning to do.
Did they waive their penalty?
They have not finalized that. I think they're giving them an extension to bring this until March or April, and then they'll determine determine that piece of it. The staff has been just incredibly adept and high functioning, and there have been a number of projects and special initiatives that we've been working on. One that happened early this week that I wanted to notify you all of, because it was an extremely proud moment for me, but in our efforts to promote our food cluster here, we took a number of local restaurateurs down to Grand Isle on Monday to tour the alternative oyster culture, the way they're growing these oysters in the baskets, and we've received tremendous feedback from restaurateurs who, some of them, quite frankly, are famous Louisiana restaurants who are not purchasing Louisiana oysters, and partly because of price and other reasons, but we have already, coming out of that trip Monday, received some verbal commitments from some of our restaurateurs to incorporate more of our Jefferson Parish product into their menus. So that's, I just wanted to mention that. Several prospects that we're working on, major prospects, including some for this park, major warehouse project in Elmwood, which is starting to move forward. Loop Linen, I think you may have seen that one in the press as well, but Loop Linen, who's operated in the city of Westwego for 95 years and has been landlocked, they were looking for an opportunity to expand. And quite frankly, had looked around the Gulf South because of their distribution area. We were able to work a deal where they're going to locate their new facility kind of at LA 18 and 90 at the base of the Huey. That project's important for a number of reasons. That land has been eyed for some time as just a natural progression of Elmwood's growth, and but it also lacks the infrastructure needed to develop. And as part of that project, Loop successfully received an EDAP grant from the state. That's going to offset some of that infrastructure cost, and then Councilman Bonanno's office is going to dedicate some discretionary funds also. That's going to bring some infrastructure to the area that should spur and put some of those other plots of land into commerce. I mentioned the discretionary funding from Councilman Bonanno for another reason, and that is that money will probably come from him to JETCO. For us to distribute to the company with the appropriate clawbacks, which means likely in November, we're going to have you all approve our portion. That'll be a three-part agreement between the parish, JETCO, and Loop Linen. So that'll be coming in the November meeting likely as well. Something else just to prepare you all, there are two pilots that we currently have. One with Latrim, which as you remember was a different type of pilot than we've ever done, which allowed them to place assets into that pilot over a number of years. That original term is coming up upon its expiration. Lacey and I have been meeting with Latrim, and their intent and their request is to not just renew that. They want to do a new pilot, and we think we can refine the one we have even better. They're actually not asking for as favorable a terms, but we have some opportunities in there to actually, we think, incentivize some of their future growth. So that will be coming up. We're going to probably start to schedule a preemptory or preemptive pilot review committee right before Thanksgiving to prepare for that. The other one is the OMC, the Ochsner joint venture, which, if you recall, we developed that pilot, which was intended to for them to utilize the savings on that pilot for public infrastructure and beautification along Jefferson Highway. For a number of reasons, including the cost estimates that came back from Entergy, one of their main things was they wanted to bury the power lines along that corridor from Causeway to the hospital. Those estimates came back so exorbitantly high, even after Entergy had pre-purchased, you know, some of the equipment for that, Ochsner determined that was not going to be a good use of those funds. For that reason and others, Ochsner has not spent that the money that they have realized the savings of. So we're going to be seeking an extension of that term to allow them more time to spend those funds, but also put some guardrails on it to ensure that they don't keep realizing savings without the intended purpose of investing in that public infrastructure. So that will likely be coming before you. We need some information from them. We're hoping that we'll be able to bring that before the end of the year, but we'll see about that.
Jerry, let me ask, was a study done to provide to Ochsner indicating that the growth would be the imminent goal?
The growth of
what you just mentioned.
The expense,
yes.
Oh, well, I think they had some preliminary estimates done, and then when Entergy really put it together, it was just, I want to say, like, the original, was it 6.4 million they estimated?
Yeah, well, so the total savings that's projected through the pilot would be about 6.4 million, and the Entergy proposal came back for just a small, like, phase one
segment, like,
and it was the full 6.4.
They would have utilized the entire 6.4 million. It equated to basically two blocks of burying the lines for 6.4 million. So
Entergy has no motivation to bury those lines.
Ochsner was
their numbers will never make it make sense.
Okay.
So. And that was after they had preliminary. I think they didn't want to waste the time, but Ochsner had put the money aside. They were ready to go with the 6.4 million, but they weren't going to do it for two blocks. It just wasn't a good use of the funds.
Jim, you have to use Entergy. You can't get a private company to do it.
A private company could do the work. Entergy would subcontract it to a private company anyway, but Entergy's the one driving that ship, and they don't want to bury their lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing was just mentioned, we'll be meeting nominating committee to discuss the slate of officers for next year and various subcommittee assignments, and I was going to finish with the mention of Jennifer and Lauren, but I started with that. So
okay.
Happy to answer any questions.
There was an article in the paper I saw online reference Gretna. Are you willing to talk about that?
I'm willing to talk about
it. He talked about it at the meeting. he was on the record.
So we've been very familiar with trying to attract developments like breweries, microbreweries, distilleries, wine gardens, whatever, because we know that as you look across the country, it is a magnet for families and young residents. We've tried to do that throughout the parish, and for a variety of reasons, zoning requirements that are antiquated and whatnot, we just haven't had luck attracting those types of developments to Jefferson. The city of Gretna and District 1 Councilman Marion Edwards had been working with Port Orleans to attract one of those breweries to Gretna. And in that case, the councilman actually is directing his discretionary, some of his discretionary funds to Jefferson Facilities, Inc. JFI is the entity that actually owns and operates the parish parking garage at the GGP and some other, at the EOC, they operate that or own that. But the parish is dedicating those funds to JFI to actually build the building and lease it to the brewery or restaurant, and then there are going to be some other ancillary uses in there. Mayor Constant actually has had a vision for years of having a kind of a New York style kiosk on the corner right there for information and selling, you know, food and things like that. And that'll be part of that as well. They're going to lose about 30 parking spots as a result of that, but
it's going on that surface level lot.
That surface level lot in front of the corner from Gretna City Hall. If you're walking out City Hall facing the river, it's the surface lot to the left next to Parish Court there.
Oh, good for her.
But it did get caught up a little bit in post-election. It was on the council agenda for that Wednesday, that first council meeting after the election. It got deferred. They had a special council meeting this Tuesday, at which I was asked to appear. And there is a new. I was asked to appear for a couple of reasons. One, there is a new requirement the parish council passed that anytime they're using their funds for one of these types of projects, they're now requiring a fiscal note. And this was the first one out of the chute, and nobody knew on their end what a fiscal note should include and entail. And I was asked to do the fiscal note, and I told them, you know, we've never done that before either, with the caveat that I actually took the worksheet that the legislative auditor uses for each of the bills that's filed at the state, and sort of adapted it to this project, given the assumptions that we did know. We did have construction estimates, we did know sales projections and things like that. So we put together a fiscal note based on that, but I made it clear to the council, that's not the business we want to be in going forward. It did pass unanimously.
So sad that it was supposed to happen in Kenner. That project was supposed to be in Kenner.
Rivertown,
the one by the park?
Yes.
Okay.
By Rivertown. And glad to see that it stayed in Jefferson Parish.
It did actually, that article though did spur some interest from other much larger entities wanting to talk now. So I have a call scheduled this afternoon. If it materializes, we'll see.
Okay.
How do they, to be careful how I ask this, but how do they determine the percentage rents? Who's doing that?
That was a big part of the fight.
Yeah, who is making that decision?
It's negotiated between the councilman and the entity, and JFI actually, and the entity.
Yeah.
Okay. That
could have been different.
Well, this is how I answered that to the council. Anytime. Because the perception is you're getting an unfair, you're competing on an unlevel playing field. Any deal we do, there's going to be somebody who feels they're getting the short end of the stick because somebody else is getting a better deal than them. I don't know this firsthand. I think a part of the argument was that River Shack was complaining that they were going to be unfairly competing. The owner of River Shack, as I understand it, is actually very supportive of this project because he knows it's going to drive more traffic to his restaurant, more pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that to the council when they asked me about his 6% market rate. So it is approaching market rate, but it's not. But any deal we do, they didn't come to us begging to be located in the city of Gretna. There's a give and take there, and you have to provide terms that make it attractive for them to make that they're putting a couple of million dollars of their own money into the FF&E and build out as well. So it's not like it's totally one-sided.
Any questions for Jerry about any of what he said or anything else? All right. How about from staff or Board of Commissioners? Anything to report today? All right.
I just want to invite everyone to our Dia de los Muertos event next on the 4th. November the 4th from 1 to 4 Lafayette Square. I know it's in Orleans Parish, but still. You're invited.
Our vehicles cross Paris. We don't have transponders shut off.
At Lafayette Square?
Lafayette
on
Square.
Wednesday?
Saturday the 4th from
Saturday
1 to 4. We're going to have music and food and fun.
I was out of town, but my company participated in a Hispanic job fair that Myra was a wonderful host, and we were treated with great hospitality. It was a very, from our standpoint, it was a very successful event. So,
yes.
So thank
another
you.
Another one coming up.
Thank
I'm
you very
glad.
Much. Please let me know.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, questions? All right. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. Stephen second. No one's opposed. So thank you. See you next month.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Thanks, sir.